Whatever his motives, rebel leader Laurent Nkunda commands an area of Congo that is rich in natural resources. One mineral found there sticks out: coltan. When it's refined, coltan becomes a blue-gray powder called tantalum. That's used in cell phones, laptops, and other electronics, like video game systems. Jack Ewing is one of Businessweek's European correspondents. He's been following the coltan trail and asking whether the average cell phone contains what some call conflict coltan. So, Jack, let's talk about how the coltan trade is helping to finance the violence in Congo, first of all. Connect the dots between the fact that there is coltan in Congo and the bloodshed there.
Well, it's a mineral that can be pretty easily mined on a low-tech basis, so it's something that can be done by almost anybody in that region. And what happens is that either the rival factions control coltan deposits directly, or small groups of people will mine it, but then the armed groups will extract taxes, payoffs, whatever, and profit that way.
So I can see our listeners in their cars, cell phones at the ready, already squirming over whether they're complicit in a new kind of blood diamond. Is this a story of blood phones?
No, I think that's a huge exaggeration. I mean, it sort of depends on which perspective you look at it. If you're in the Congo, coltan is valuable. It's contributing to the war. But most of the world's coltan comes from Australia, and something like less than 2%, I've heard even less than 1%, actually comes out of the Congo. So the answer is no. The chances that your phone has tantalum from the Congo in it are very small.
And tell us, where in your phone do you actually physically find coltan? I mean, if you were to open your phone up, where would you see it? Or we should say it's derivative transition metal tantalum.
Yeah, it's used in something called a capacitor, which is a very common component in all sorts of electronic devices. The reason that tantalum is valuable for capacitors is that it's very resistant to corrosion, and it also has a very high melting point. So it's really the ideal material for that type of device.
Now, you were just reporting on coltan last month for Business Week. You were in South Africa doing some investigations down there. I mean, how important do you think it is to General Laurent Nkunda to be in control of Congo's supply of coltan?
Well, I think of minerals in general, coltan among them, but also tin, cobalt, gold, diamonds. That's the way that all the armies finance themselves, and it's a big motivator for the war in the first place.
What are cell phone companies doing to certify that their phones are not victimizing people in Congo? I mean, I know you said that this is not a huge issue for people around the world, since a rather small amount of coltan comes from Congo. But like Nokia and Motorola, do they have strategies in place?
Yeah, I mean, this was a big issue back around 2000. At that point, there was a huge spike in the price of coltan, so it became that much more valuable. And at that time, a number of companies took steps to make sure that their suppliers were not sourcing coltan from the conflict region. And they're still doing that today. They make their suppliers sign agreements that they're not going to get coltan from there, and they try to keep track of where it's coming from. But once the mineral has been refined down to tantalum, it's really impossible to say where it comes from. And I don't think anyone can say with 100% assurance that some tantalum coltan from the Congo is not finding its way into the supply chain.
You've actually reported this week on a German scientist who's working on a unique way to identify and catalog coltan fingerprints. Explain that.
Yeah, it's possible to sample ore from sites. Each site has its own geological history, and you can analyze that, and you can say with a great deal of precision where ore is coming from. So the idea is to create some sort of independent testing body that would keep a sort of index of different mining locations, and it would then be possible to follow the mineral as it went through the supply chain and ensure where it was coming from. And it's not just about preventing money from going to the rebel armies, but also making sure that there's decent working conditions for the people there, and also that the mines are not creating environmental problems.
Jack Ewing, one of Business Week's European correspondents. He's in Frankfurt, Germany. Thanks very much for speaking with us.
You're welcome.